Scottish Celt. Conan Doyle was Irish by descent, Scottish by birth, and English by adoption. Being of a plastic nature, all three nations helped to mould his character, which included the chivalry and enthusiasm of the first, the pride and perseverance of the second, the stubbornness and humour of the third. Naturally, he did not pass through life without having his chivalry described as absurdity, his pride as conceit, his stubbornness as stupidity. The truth will emerge as we proceed. His grandfather, John Doyle, left Dublin for London in the year 1815, and soon, as H.B., made a reputation as a caricaturist. "My grandfather was a gentleman, drawing gentleman, for gentlemen," wrote Conan Doyle. John's policy resulted in prosperity, and his four sons inherited his gift. We are primarily concerned with the youngest son, Charles, a civil servant, who spent his spare time painting. At the age of 19, Charles got a job in the Government Office of Works at Edinburgh, where in 1855 he married Mary Foley, also of Irish parentage. They were living in a small flat at Picardy Place, Edinburgh, when their son, Arthur Conan Doyle, was born on May the 22nd, 1859. At first, Charles and Mary could get along comfortably enough on his £240 a year. But when the family was increased by three girls and a boy, life became difficult. Charles was not helpful, though he sometimes managed, by the sale of a few pictures, to add another £50 to his income. He suffered from what is euphemistically termed the artistic temperament. That is, he took very little interest in his job and not much interest in his home. He lived in the clouds. He was, his son tells us, a tall man, long-bearded and elegant. He had a charm of manner and a courtesy of bearing which I've seldom seen equalled. His wit was quick and playful. He possessed also a remarkable delicacy of mind, which would give him moral courage enough to rise and leave any company which talked in a manner which was coarse. He was unworldly and unpractical, and his family suffered for it. Fortunately for their children, his wife's temperament was not artistic. Though Irish and Catholic, like her husband, the climate of Scotland seems to have hardened her into one of those remarkable women who feed, clothe, and educate a family on an income that the neediest government would not trouble to tax. Arthur's childhood was Spartan, but he was sturdy. When 7 years old, he went to school, and for 2 years endured laceration from a schoolmaster whose resemblance to a Dickensian character did not atone for the pain he inflicted. Arthur was, if anything, toughened by the treatment, and during out-of-school hours he engaged in many fights with his contemporaries. A love of battle was in his blood, and not even the experience of being knocked senseless by a heavy boot concealed in a bag, with which a bookmaker's assistant tried to brain him, lessened his desire to put up his fists on the least provocation, especially in defence of those who were being bullied by stronger boys than themselves. Along with his warlike tendencies went a keen taste for reading, and it was rumoured that a special meeting of a library committee was held in my honour, at which a by-law was passed that no subscriber should be permitted to change his book more than 3 times a day. In after years he recalled how he had revelled in those tales of adventure. "I do not think that life has any joy to offer so complete, so soul-filling, as that which comes upon the imaginative lad whose spare time is limited, but who is able to snuggle down into a corner with his book, knowing that the next hour is all his own, and how vivid and fresh it all is. Your very heart and soul are out on the prairies and the oceans with your hero. Long ere I came to my teens, I had traversed every sea, and knew the Rockies like my own back garden. How often had I sprung upon the back of the charging buffalo, and so escaped him? I had creased horses, I had shot down rapids, I had strapped on my moccasins, hind foremost to conceal my tracks. I had lain under water with a reed in my mouth, and I had feigned madness to escape the torture. As to the Indian braves whom I slew in single combats, I could have stocked a large graveyard, and fortunately enough..."